I want to read a passage that is connected to your theme and your scripture from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, 9 through 13. And it says in the New International Version, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." The word of the Lord. Without hesitation is a title that God brought to me as I read over this passage and over this theme, Sister Ellison, for today. Every time I think about the tragic events that occurred at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, I am sickened by the inept response of law enforcement personnel who were on the scene that day. It is troubling to know that so many officers were outside the school and did nothing. It is even more horrifying to discover that officers were inside the school as the shooting was taking place, hearing the sounds, and hesitated to go to the classroom. And I know there are many perspectives about that, but I think that that is despicable. I asked myself recently, and I don't know if you know, you can let me know later, did any of the officers who were in the hall or on the scene have children in that school? Because it's unfathomable to me that an officer whose child is in attendance would not do every possible thing to protect that child. Most parents would risk their own life for their children, and that's understandable. Most parents will not hesitate to protect their children. And there were parents at the school, and they wanted to go in, and they were prevented from going in. So I wonder whether those officers in the hall with guns, with colleagues, had any children in that school. I don't know. We can understand the desire of a parent to give her or his life for a child. When you love someone, you act in ways that protect and support the one you love. That's what love does. Love doesn't hesitate. Love goes into action. In verse 13 of our text, Jesus says something very, very powerful. He says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." And I don't know whether most people will do that. Most people will give their life for a child, a parent, a family member, or a loved one. But I don't know whether most people will give their life for a friend. A friendship is a relationship that usually doesn't have a biological connection. And I don't know whether people will readily give their life for a friend. That's a tall order. And that's a tough call. But Jesus' statement, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends, presents a standard of love and commitment that he calls upon the church to embody. Now, you might be tied to that touchy-feely love. How you doing, sugar? Give me a hug. I'm going to call you my daughter. You call me mama. You're that touchy-feely love. And use that as a substitute for reflecting the love of Jesus Christ. And you can say, well, this person is a loving person, so I love this person. This person is a sweet person, so I love this person. And they just have a loving spirit and think that they or you are reflecting the love that Jesus speaks about in this gospel. Let's look at it more clearly. What's the basis? What's the basis upon which Jesus says, greater love hath no one than this, that a man lay down one's life for one's friends? What's the basis of that? He says in verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in my Father's, remain in his love. There's three components to that form the basis. And one is the Father's love. So it all starts with God the Father. As the Father has loved me. Love begins with God. Love comes from God. God initiates the concept of love. And the word love here is agape, which means, as you know, unconditional love. So God is the initiator of unconditional love, and God makes love possible in the world. So it begins with God. That's the first part of the basis. God has loved Jesus, and God has loved Jesus unconditionally. The first component. The second component is Jesus' love for us. So he says, as I have loved you, so have I loved you. So Jesus' love for us is made possible because of God's love. That's why the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So the first two components are God's love, the love of God, and the love of Jesus, God's son. And the third part of it is the command to love. So God loves And he loves Jesus, and Jesus commands us to love. Now remain in my love. You keep my commands, you remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Jesus says in John 13:34, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Love is a command. It's a directive. It's not something that you can make a choice about because you like the person. It's not something you can make a choice about because it's convenient. It's a command. We are commanded to love as God loves. So Jesus directs his followers to love each other as he has loved them. He calls for intra intracommunal love, love among the people of God, love with that permeates the community of faith. So, love comes from God through Jesus to us. Love comes from God through Jesus to us. And the love that comes from God through Jesus to us is the love that we ought to embody among the believers and in the world. We are not called to embody a love that originates with us so that we say, well, I have to feel it myself. He doesn't want it to come from you, because he knows if it comes from us, it will be based upon our relationships with persons. We'll love the persons we like and not love the persons we don't like, or love the persons whose personalities suit us, or not love the persons whose personalities don't suit us. So it does not come from us, because that won't work. And we're not called to embody a love that originates from the world. So we're not getting the world's perspective of love and what the world says love is. We are called to embody a love that comes from God through Jesus to us. So it's actually, we are actually conduits. We're actually vessels. We are actually containers. It's really the love of God in us, loving others through us. We are letting God love through us. That's the basis upon which Jesus says, greater love hath no man than this. Man lays down his life for a friend. So in Chicago, a police officer shoots and wounds a teenager. And teenager's been in the car, it's been allegedly stolen, and it's chased and hops out the car and is running away from the police. You probably have seen the video, heard about it. And you might ask, the teenager's about 13, it's a young kid. You might ask, well, how does it happen? Police officer just shoots the person and the person is not a threat. How is it that officers who are hired to uphold the law, hired to serve and protect is not just for the people who are law abiding? Don't criminals have rights? Don't the people who make mistakes have rights? Aren't we to serve and protect everybody? How do they make the decision to use deadly force in a situation that could have been handled differently? That happens. That occurs when the basis of concern for others is shaped by the world's values. It's shaped by the world's standards rather than shaped by the values and the standards of God. The world says if you think your life is in danger, you have every right to take somebody else's life. That's what the world says, and not what Jesus says. He says, greater love has no one than this, the one lay down his life for his friend. You can hesitate in a hallway while gunshots are ringing out and fail to protect others, especially children, because your life is more important than the lives of others. That's not the love that comes from God through Jesus Christ. Huh? If you're in a field where your life is on the line, it is dangerous. It is important. But part of being in that field is the possibility that your life has to be given. I know that sounds rough to say, but that might occur. It might occur. The people who were on the front lines at the beginning of the pandemic, some of them who were serving other people as nurses and doctors and helpers, lost their lives, but they went to work anyway. So the notion that you stand in the hallway and say, I'm hesitating because I'm more concerned about my life than the lives of those children. Anyway, so the basis for love, it comes from God through Jesus to us. And what is love really? Love is really a call to action. When he says love one another, He says, he's talking about action. He says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, lay down one's life for one's friends as I have loved you. So Jesus becomes the ultimate template or pattern for love. And he grounds what he says in his own personal example. He says, in effect, let me show you how to love, and then I want you to do what I do. And he gives a hint about what he's going to do. When he talks about greater love has no man laid out, he's hinting about himself. It's a precursory point about what he's going to do for us. But before we get to that, let me just point out that for Jesus, love is action. Love is doing something for others. And that's why you don't have to feel anything toward them to act in love toward them. As you commanded, love is not just a feeling toward others. It's a way of acting toward others. Someone said, emotions are not absent from love, but they are not central. Emotions are not absent, but they are not central. Another person wrote, to love is to be for another and to act for another, even at cost to oneself. Wow. So it might cost you something. Say, well, I'm only paying the cost. I ain't going to pay it for that rusty person over there. But I'll pay it for her. I'll pay it for my circle of friends or my family. But Jesus is saying that we are to act with love. That's what the Bible says in 1 John 3:18. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Reality is we cannot act in love unless that love comes from God through Jesus Christ. If you're only acting with love toward the persons you love, you're not doing what God expects you to do. And the hard part is to love those you don't love and to do them right because it's the right thing to do even if you don't like them. You're acting toward love even at cost to yourself. You remember this story long time ago told about the girl who was embarrassed because her mother's face was disfigured with this terrible scar. And the girl one day was participating in a school function. And she told her mother about it. Mother said, I'm going to come. I'm going to be at the function. I want to be there to support you. The daughter says, no, you don't have to come. And the mother says, no, I'm coming. I insist on coming. But the daughter tries to convince her mother to change her mind. And because she tried so hard, the mother finally asked her, well, why don't you want me to come? And the daughter says, because you've got that scar on your face. And the kids will make fun of you. And the kids will laugh at you because of your face. And that's why I don't want you to come. And then the mother says to the daughter, well, do you know how I got this scar? And the daughter says, no. And the mother says, well, when you were about 2 years old, our house caught on fire. And all I could do was snatch you up in my arms and rush out of the house to escape the fire. She said, but as I was rushing out the house with you, a piece of the burning ceiling fell from the ceiling. And when I saw it fall, I put my head over your head to cover you so you wouldn't get burned. That's why I've got this scar. The daughter said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know that. She didn't realize that her mother's love for her caused her mother to go in action. Because when you love somebody, you do something about it. Love is not what you say. Love is not a smile on your face, oh, sweetie, honey, sugar, how you doing today. Love is how you act toward people. I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to myself as well. If it's hitting you hard, it's hitting me first. It's how you act. Love will make you act for others. And one more thing, and I'm done. So, it's from God, through Jesus, to us. And it's acting. The love that God gives is action love to us. And then, and if you get that, then you can understand the directive. Greater love has no one than this. To lay down one's life for one's friends. And Marla, you mentioned Might not have to do it. Might just be, you know, doing something nice again. But you might have to. You might have to. Let me get back to this verse. When we see the word friends, we think it refers to personal friends or relationship. But the English translation is misleading. Jesus is not calling for the love of friends. The Greek word really means those who are loved. That's the literal translation, those who are loved. So greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for those who are loved. And that could be family. It could be neighbors. It could be classmates. It could be anyone. And the disciples are a part of the crowd that are loved, but there are others who are loved. And that's why when Jesus tells them that he's hinting about himself, he tells them that he loves them. He says, I love you. And he says, I want you to love each other like I love you. And he lets them know that love requires the ultimate sacrifice. That giving one's life is a supreme act of love. In other words, love sometimes is displayed in radical ways, in radical generosity. You know, it's like somebody you didn't know at work who needed a kidney, and you don't know anything about them, but you step up to the plate because you think you might be a match. And then you find out you're a match, and you go and give your kidney. That's radical. Come on, somebody. It has to be explained in radical ways. But love does not wait outside. Love does not hesitate in the hallway. Love goes all the way. What are they standing around for, these big men? They've got protective gear on. They've got guns. They've got each other. Why stand around? So you get shot. It's better than a little child. Come on, somebody. That just troubles me. So Jesus is talking about the ultimate sacrifice. And again, John 3:16 is instructive in that regard. For he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says he gave his one and only son. He gave all that he had. Isn't that right? It speaks about God. He gave all that he had. But it also speaks about Jesus. Because Jesus gave the ultimate gift. He gave his own life. So Jesus sets the standard for love. If we want to be people of God, then we must love even though the cost is significant. And so the Bible says in Matthew 16, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever wants to lose their life for me will find it. When you try to save your life, that's when you use your own hurt and your own issue as an excuse for not doing what God told us to do. You're saying, well, I have every right to be angry. I have every right not to talk. I have every right not to show up. I have every right not to do what God told me to do because I've been wronged. Come on, somebody. But that's the cost of it. If you want to save your life, sometimes we're too busy trying to save our lives, defend ourselves, and push our own points and our own perspective. We're not willing to give that up and let that be the cost for serving Jesus. I'm almost done. You'll be through with me. 23 years ago, I was a part of a group of pastors who took a pilgrimage to Israel. And when we landed in Tel Aviv, we drove from the airport, checked into a hotel right there on the Mediterranean Sea. And from my room, I noticed a promenade. I might have shared this with you before. A promenade along the bank of the sea. And I had never seen the Mediterranean in person. I just read about it in social studies. And, you know, so I was really excited. This is the Mediterranean Sea. And I decided to go for a walk down that promenade. And as I walked, I kept seeing young people, teenagers, 19, 18, 20, late teens, early 20s, walking and carrying M16 rifles. And when I first couple of them, I was like, what? You know, it sort of startled me. But then the more I walked, the more I saw. And I saw so many that I became so disturbed, I said, I better get my behind back in the hotel because something might jump off and I don't want to be the target of something jumping off. And when I inquired about it, I learned that military service in Israel, for Israelis, is compulsory. That young people have to spend a couple of years in the military. And they have to be willing to defend their country against attack. Because you know all that stuff is going on between the Israelis and the Palestinians. And you know, a lot of it started by the United States and the United Nations and the Israeli, but it's going on there. Anyway, so they don't know when an attack will occur. But I said to myself, what a powerful lesson for these young people. Because early in life, they learned that there are causes that are bigger than themselves. And they learned that they must sometimes be willing to sacrifice time and even life for the protection and the safety of others. They're carrying those guns. They want to do, if something breaks out, they're trained to shoot. But they know if they shoot, they might get shot. And they might have to give up their lives. You cannot diminish the lesson that brings to those young people. So love sometimes is the ultimate sacrifice. And sometimes you've got to put it all on the line in order to show love to somebody. Love is the basis for everything. Love comes from God through Jesus Christ to us. That's the love we're called to embody. Love is a call to action. It isn't just what we feel. It is how we act, even at cost to oneself. And love can be the ultimate sacrifice. He says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Listen, I'm done. I got more on my paper, but I'll wrap it up. I was talking to a man the other day. He said that, you know, he's disillusioned with the church. And he doesn't believe in the church. And he doesn't believe in religion. And then he talked about certain things that were going on in the world and things that were happening in the community and said, Ricky, well, how do you reconcile all that's going on and all that's happening with what you believe and with your faith? And I told him, I don't believe in religion. My faith is anchored in one person. And I said, I'm not bound to a denomination. I'm not bound to a certain type of worship. I'm not bound to a certain color. I'm bound to one person. And I said, because that person heard Isaiah say these words. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I said, this man, Jesus, read these words, and without hesitation, he showed up for his assignment. And because he showed up, I love Jesus today. That's what love will do you. Jesus said so many times, I must work the works of him who sent me while it's day. Night is coming when no man can work. Without hesitation, he showed up. He showed up to Calvary. He showed up and gave his nails, the hands to the nails. He showed up. And so I said, I don't care about Zoroastrianism. Zoroaster didn't die for me. Buddha didn't die for me. The prophet Muhammad didn't die for me. Confucius didn't die for me. But there is a name above every name, the name of Jesus. Bright and morning star. Jesus, lily of the valley. Jesus, a way out of no way. Jesus, a rock in a weary land. There is a name I love to hear. That's what my faith is anchored in. It's anchored in Jesus. And if you're going to be like him, you got to love like he loves, even if it costs you something. This just dropped in my spirit, and we're extending an invitation. Come on, people, stand up with me. Do you know that when he hung from the cross, that he was dying for good folk and bad folk? That he was dying for those who believed in him and those who didn't believe in him. That he was dying for those who had crucified him. That's why he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So you cannot use your own preferences as an excuse not to love somebody, because Jesus died for the very folk you don't love. Will you stand with me? Invitation. Come on, greeters and deacons and ministers. There is a name I love for you. Invitation is extended. There is a name I love to hear. I love to see its word. It sounds like music in the sweetest name. The sweetest. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because it tells me of a Savior's love. It tells me of Savior who died to set me free, to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Hallelujah. One more time. So the instructions are, if you're going to go outside with us, meet down at the fellowship hall. That's it, Linda? Meet at the fellowship hall. If you're going to remain in the sanctuary, remain in here to pray, come down front to meet Linda following the benediction. And I'm told that Sister Peggy Woodard is here. There you are. That's all right, baby. Thank God for answered prayer. We're praying for you. Happy to see you. God, and Sister Sharon Wells, we've also been praying for her. We're glad to see you, Sister Wells. Amen. What is the benediction? Let the church say amen. Sister Spears, you prayed a powerful prayer.
Amen.
Thank you, Sister.
Amen.
Let the church.
Eternal, we thank you for another Lord's Day and the blessed privilege of worshiping you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for our mission Sunday and for their theme about boldness and serving, no greater love. Thank you, Lord, for these
youth, these children who led us in worship today, and they have shown us that the work that their parents, families, and the church are doing is making a difference. And we just pray that you'll bless all of them as they grow, as they learn, as they discover. Bless all of them and bless us. We thank you, O God, for your word, for reminding us of love, that the basis for what you call us to is that love comes from God through Jesus to us. And that's the love we must embody. And it's not a love rooted in feelings, but rooted in action. It's how we act toward others and how we act in your behalf. That's why we need your love. And then, oh God, that love might require the ultimate sacrifice, that we are sometimes called upon to give everything, that it might cost us to act with love. But the cost is worth it because you paid the ultimate cost without hesitation, and we thank you for it. And now may the blessings of God be upon you. May God equip you with all you need to do his will. May he lead you forth with joy and sustain you by his perfect peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.